joyous Easter greeting from the sunny hills of La Jolla. Our Easter message today is a very strange one. It comes from an episode that was quite extraordinary in the life of a 12-year-old boy. His family had taken him to Jerusalem for the Feast of Passover, and in their hustling metropolis, something caught his eye. Held him, fascinated him, drew him away from the celebration, and separated him from his parents. And there in the holy city of Jerusalem, this 12-year-old boy stood among his elders, and to the astonishment of all, he challenged the wisdom and the learning of the leaders of the Judaic religion. That was really a momentous day in the history of mankind. For the child was not a child. And he was doing much more than challenging Judaism. He was standing there overturning every belief of the human mind. He was opening the gates of heaven, and he was bidding all who could hear his inner meaning to enter a new world where death was unknown and where life is always eternal. No, he was not a 12-year-old boy. He was the voice of your divine self telling you the very purpose of your life on this earth. So listen now to the real miracle of Easter. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. Now, let us look carefully at Mary's statement. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee, sorrowing. Now, look carefully again at the reply made by your divine self through the visible divine image called Jesus. And Jesus said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? In that stinging rebuke delivered by divine self to Mary, you will find the reason that religion has been unable to lift mankind into the kingdom of heaven on earth, and you will find there too the reason why your entry into the kingdom has been delayed. Mary had said, Thy father and I have sought thee, meaning that she and Joseph had been looking for him. But God, teaching that we are divine and therefore not human, that we do not have a human father, that God is our only father, that divine self is our only being, God corrects Mary and says through Jesus, I am about my father's business, meaning my divine father's business is my only business. God is my only father. I am divine being. There you have the mystical key to paradise. Miss it, as mankind has, and you miss the one great truth that towers above all others in the Bible. When a boy of 12 is made to tell the Virgin Mary that God is his Father, he is declaring that he is the divine Son. He is accepting his divine selfhood, and he is renouncing his human selfhood. He is saying, I am divine here and now. And he is telling you, and you, and you, who you are. Mark those words carefully. For until you follow the way shower and declare yourself divine here and now, you are rejecting God. You are actually saying, God, I am not your divine son now, so do not waste your divine grace on me. Before we go anywhere in this work together, here and now, you must understand that there is no way to worship God unless you accept your own divinity. That is the tragic blunder of millions of worshipers throughout the world. They have not been taught the stupendous truth that the Father within is their own divine self. They have been misguided, misinformed, by human teachers themselves, unaware of their own divine identity. And in direct contradiction of the Word of God, in this monumental mistake, these countless millions have been separated from God and isolated with their teachers in the darkness of the world mind. You, in the infinite way, have gone too far into this work now to be given anything less than absolute truth. And the absolute truth we want today is this. You are not a human being. If you do not claim your divinity, by default, you deny the fatherhood of God, and you will walk with the confused millions in the prison of the mortal dream. There can be no halfway measure. You are not human and divine. You are not human today or on your way to becoming divine tomorrow. You are not mortal today, immortal tomorrow. You are not matter and spirit. You are not the child of human parents and the child of God. You are not man or woman and divine. You are not physical and divine. Is the point clear? You are divine, nothing else. Spiritual being, made of pure divine substance. Now close your eyes, please. Accept who you are. All my human life, I have walked as a human being. I am not a human being. God never made a physical being. I am divine self. I am that self which was before Abraham, that self which will be unto the end of the world, that self which is the Word made flesh. I am the light. I am the life. I am the pure divine substance of the Father, his living Son. And I must reject all that claims me to be not that Son, not that substance, not that life, not that being. How can I be what the Father says I am and also be what I think I am when my mind thinks I am human and the Father says I am divine? Shall I tell the Father I am your human divine son? Is there such a thing? How long can I continue to live in an impossibility? Is this not the cause of every problem that I encounter? A human rejecting divinity, a human rejecting the fatherhood of the divine. And why do I do it? Because my eyes cannot see the divine. Because I have no knowledge of that which is invisible. And so I walk in the visible humanhood, denying the Father's statement, "Call no man your father upon the earth." And in doing so, I am not about my Father's business. I am about the business of this world, totally controlled by the world mind. My only way out of duality is to accept divinity, to awaken, to refuse to be what I am not, to refuse to be human, mortal, physical, all that is not divine. If I have penetrated to the core of my soul above mine, I know that every waking moment of every day must be devoted to this purpose, to be that self which the Father says I am. I never have been a human being. I am not human now. I am the divine child of God, no other. And I must live in that consciousness. I must live in the self that I have not known, the divine self. Now I know, and you know, that there is probably no more difficult adjustment that anyone can be asked to make in this work. It's really the Battle of Armageddon. You fight it within yourself every single day. But the reason you lose so often is because you refuse to be your divine self. You still think you are a mortal, human, physical being. That has to go. Consciously, we learn to deny the mortal life stream, because it has been denying our divine life stream. Until we feel the invisible nature of being, that's the real victory. Your triumph over the mortal life stream shatters the cosmic illusion, the illusion which imprisons you in a body, in a good world, in a bad world, in a daily struggle for survival. The bondage of the mind is broken. And with the end of mental dominion, the bondage to the flesh is broken. The material world of good and the material world of bad are no longer there to deceive you. You're liberated permanently into the kingdom of infinite grace. On page 196 of Consciousness Unfolding, Joel rips the veil away. He pulls it right off the false human consciousness so that all of us who have caught the vision of spiritual living, who seek total rebirth, can see clearly what our job really is. Here it is. Christ never was and never will be mortal. Christ is the Son of God, appearing as that which we call man. Do you believe on him whom the Father has sent? Who was I am? Who is I am? And the answer is shocking. None but you. God sent himself forth into manifestation as you. At one period you think yourself bad. At another good or sick or well. Until you realize this truth. And then you say, I am not a human being. I never was a human being. I am the Christ of God, made manifest. God himself goes forth into expression as the Son of God. None of the trials and tribulations or sins of the present, past, or future can ever attach themselves to that which I am. God himself went forth as the Son into the world to manifest the Christ of God, to show forth the mind that was in Christ Jesus, to show forth the spirit, soul, and body of God. I am the very body of God, the temple of the living God, the temple of the Holy Ghost, the very presence of God itself, made manifest as individual being. The world faces most of its problems by meeting them head on. Of course, this is the human way, the natural way, and many times it works very well. Sometimes it does not work very well at all, because it's really like shoveling snow in a blizzard. The snow keeps coming, faster than you can shovel it away. In spiritual living, we never get into such an impossible position. We realize that our fight is never with the world outside. That's the false struggle which has fooled the human ego. Our fight is never with the headache, the backache, the abdominal pain, or the digestive system. Our fight is never violence in the streets or corruption in high places. Our fight isn't with the red tape of bureaucracy or the countless emotional disturbances that tremble across the brink of our consciousness, demanding our immediate attention. No, no. We have only one fight, and that is to go within, to conquer the mortal life stream within before it kills us, to accept spiritual identity, to awaken to divinity. Only your divine self, accepted, can overcome the illusions of the cosmic mind. You cannot do it humanly, no matter how heroically you try. As long as you linger in the belief that you're human, that you inhabit a physical body, you will remain under cosmic hypnosis and you will spend the rest of your days fighting human evils, shoveling snow in a blizzard. And remember, you cannot play it both ways. You must remain true to your spiritual identity consistently. Here's how Joel phrases it, again in Consciousness Unfolding on page 194. Since you accept yourself as the Christ of God, then accept yourself as incorporeal, not as having organs and functions, but as having the body not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In the same way, since you're going to function as the individual Son of God, the infinite and invisible Son of God, then act as though you were joint heirs with Christ, and not as if you had to worry and scheme and plan how you were going to make a living. Try to live up to that highest sense of what you've understood yourself to be. Your own identity. Do not try in your treatment to say, I am the Christ of God, in one breath. And then continue with, how about my rent? If you're laughing, you know it's because that's what we always do. We play it both ways. And while we're on this particular subject, let's look at another Joel reminder on page 52. This time, practicing the presence. Page 52. Quote, we must not try to hold on to the forms of body. We are not body. The body is an instrument for our locomotion at this particular moment. It is an instrument for our activity. But we are not body. We are not fingers or hands or legs or hearts or brains. We are a spiritual entity. And we have a body given to us by God, eternal in the heavens. Instead of trying to hold on to this form of body, we hold on to the truth of our identity, and the body is maintained harmoniously. He says here, you have a body given to you by God, eternal in the heavens. And this little body you're walking around in is not eternal in the heavens, so that body given to you by God is another body, isn't it? We're going to have to find that other body. Before we do, I'd like to suggest this, that before Easter, you might look at chapter 9, all of it, of Consciousness Unfolding. Chapter 9, entitled The Christ. I suggest that you contemplate the message in that chapter. Read it as often as necessary until you really have captured the world-shattering truth that you are divine now. Do your very best to accept your light, not to face another day sucked into the quicksand of mortality and corporeal form. Well, you know who you are. Now let's see if we can discover where you are. During the past month, most of you have worked with the 24 statements by God, your divine self, designed to lead you out of mortality into the realization of your divine selfhood everywhere. So now let's travel together. Let's look at these priceless pearls and see if we can string them together into a necklace of divine truth. Your divine self says, you do not know me. You have thought of me as a word in the Bible. But right now, I am alive in your room. And I say to you, you still do not know me, because you are still making human decisions. You are judging the world around you with your senses. You're still depending on your human brain. Look around the room. Does your brain see your divine self? Does your brain know that I am the invisible life in this room? Is your brain walking now in the kingdom of God? I'll tell you this, it never will. Your brain can only know this world. To your brain, I am only a word. To your brain, I can never be an experience. Your brain may say, I am divine. But your brain itself is not divine. It's only a 3-ounce concept of the world mind. And unless you get to know me, your divine self, before your brain dies, you're going to let a 3-ounce illusion separate you from reality. I have walked with you for many lifespans, And I have seen you through many 3-ounce brains that led you into problem after problem, while your brain ignored me. All your suffering then was unnecessary, and now too. Your tears, your frustrations, your sorrows were all caused by the little 3-ounce computer which is programmed by the world mind. Too long we have been strangers. It is time now that you become acquainted with your living divine self. For I, in this room invisibly, I am the way shower. I am the way. Come now. And I will take you home to the perfect house of your Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father. For I go to the Father. I am not locked in your little physical body. I can take you now to your Father. Close your eyes. The room you are in has 4 corners. Some of you, it may be an oval room or a circular room. It makes no difference. Your physical body cannot be in these 4 corners at the same time. But I am. Your human body cannot be everywhere in this room. But your divine self is. I, your divine self, am everywhere in this room. And therefore, because I am your divine self, you are now in the 4 corners and everywhere else in this room. If you do not accept this, you are unwilling to accept your divine self. Now, a moment ago, you reached the conclusion that you cannot be both divine and human, both immortal and mortal, both spirit and matter. Now, to be faithful to your divine self, you must experience and live in your divine body. Your eyes are still closed. In consciousness now, become aware of your divine body in any corner of the room that you choose. Rest there. Accept your presence out of the physical body as real and alive. Now, become aware of your divine body in the second corner of the room. Probably, your brain traveled to the second corner and left the first corner. But your divine body has not done that. Your divine body has not gone from one corner to the other. It is in both corners now. So let's do it again. Find yourself in the first corner. Establish it. And now, without leaving the first corner, find yourself in the second corner so that you are simultaneously in the first and the second corners as divine self. And between the first and the second. There's no separation, so all of it is you. Now, hold on to that aliveness. And without letting go of the first corner or the second corner, move on, pick up your divine body in the third corner. So that everywhere, first, second, third, the complete continuity is your being. As divine, invisible self. Now move on, complete the rectangle, go on to the fourth, and you are in all four corners. In short, there are no corners anymore. It is all you. There are no walls. Your invisible body of spirit is the invisible space of this room. That's what Christ is, and your little brain has tried to confine you to a little physical image sitting in a chair. The same way your little brain has denied the living presence of Christ, your divine self, and has been keeping you out of the kingdom of grace. Stay there in the quiet, because we're getting ready to do a little traveling. Now let's go to the four corners of the United States. Become aware of your divine body in the state of Washington. And hold it. Linger there, feeling your divine self. Now swing over to Maine, all the way across country, so that everything from Washington to Maine is your invisible divine body, and feel the presence of it as a reality alive now. It is. Come on, way down out to Florida. All you, don't leave Washington. Don't leave Maine. Pick up your awareness of your divine body in Florida and hold all of it as you. It is all your invisible being, functioning, maintaining its present eternal self. Now over to California. So that you can feel your living body as a whole entity. No gaps, no pieces, no parts, no separations. Your body fills the entire space that men call the United States. Can you accept that? If you cannot, you are still a brain-controlled mortal living in a mind-controlled world that God did not create. And you really should practice this exercise every day until it becomes your automatic consciousness. For I am your divine body, and I am not limited by your little brain. Whenever you walk into a room, remember, your divine body is there, occupying the entirety of that room. Remember that your divine body is living now in the kingdom of God right here, where perfection is the only law. Then let go. Trust your divine body to be alive and functioning, expressing the perfect divine law of the kingdom. If you know your divine self, It will take you to your Father. It will reveal its perfection to you. It will show you that it never needs healing, that it is perfect now and forever, and that it is all there is of you. For the moment, I will spare you the trouble of becoming conscious of your divine self in the six continents, and then out into universes beyond count and outside time. The point should be clear that where your divine body is, you have been seeing geography, nature, space, land, water, and sky. You have been letting your brain fool you. Your divine self is the omnipresent life. Here, now. And there's no place where your divine self is not. For Son, Thou art ever with me, is the eternal promise of the Father. It should be clear that if you are not experiencing the perfect law of God, it is simply because you are rejecting divinity where you stand. But, you see, your divine self is real. It is fact. And if you practice it and learn never to deny it, in spite of any appearance, you will soon realize that your real and only body is now walking in the kingdom of God. When Mary and Joseph found little Jesus in the temple of Jerusalem teaching the learned doctors, there was another lesson being taught to us by God. The doctors, you see, were in a physical temple. But Jesus was standing in the temple not made with hands. He wasn't a 12-year-old boy. He wasn't in physicality. That's only the image that men saw. He was the one omnipresent divine self. He wasn't just in that spot. That is why he could teach the elders. Your divine self was revealing that when your divinity is accepted, the wisdom of heaven flows through you. And so later, divine self makes Jesus say, "The words you hear are not mine. I speak nothing of myself." That was assuring us that when we get our human selves out of the way, our divine self reveals its heavenly work right here on earth. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father. I am your divine self. I am present. If disease confronts me, I remove the illusion. If disaster strikes, I remove the illusion. If a man is placed in a tomb, I remove the illusion. The miracle worker is never you. The miracle worker is your invisible divine self. If you have the good sense to get out of the little brain that thinks disease, disaster, and death are possible, and awaken to your total divine self, which knows that only perfection is possible where God is. Your divine self is never going to come down in a chariot drawn by white horses. Your divine self isn't hiding behind the clouds. Your divine self is you. There is no other you. Furthermore, as long as there is your divine self and you thinking, acting as a mortal, there's one self too many. There is no divine self and, no divine mind and, no divine body and, no divine will and. All of the ands, the human elements that we think are here, are the denial of your divine self. When Jesus says to Mary and Joseph, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business," You're being taught the momentous truth that there's no 12-year-old boy there and no human where you are. Only divine self is there, and it is running the life of the divine image called Jesus. Just as divine self is ready to guide the image called you. There is no mortality. And that experience gives you a perfect formula for the way that you are expected to live in order to be perfect as your father. It is a foolproof method. Planted in the midst of you is your divine self, which expresses only the perfect divine will. It's always there. My Father has never left me alone. Your divine self is like an architectural blueprint. It contains the finished kingdom. You cannot fool it. You cannot alter it or improve it. Your total function on this plane is to bring your beliefs and your will in conformity with the beliefs and the will of your divine self. If your divine self does not believe in matter, but you do, then you're going to manifest problems. If your divine self doesn't believe in evil, but you do, then you're contradicting your divine self. You're straying from the perfect divine plan. There's no way to get around this. Every time you believe something that your divine self does not believe, you're in conflict with God. And when you share the identical beliefs as your divine self, harmony appears, signs follow, and spirit leads you, step by step, right out of the mortal dream. Divine self can never leave you alone. It is you. Ignore it. Inevitably, you're going to fall into a trap of the sense mind. But turn your thoughts to divine self. Seek, ask, knock for its wisdom. Live consciously in the acceptance of your divine self as the constant truth of you, the law unto you. You're going to be caught up by the Holy Spirit. Take those 30-second meditations. Here now is God. Now is God. Everywhere. Now is God. Appearances mean nothing. Now is God. That is the fact. You can almost feel the downward pouring of the Spirit as you rest in that knowledge. Now is God. Now is God in every country of the world. The clock doesn't matter. God is the only time. The action we see doesn't matter. God is the only action. The words we hear from people don't matter. God is the only voice. The animosities, the violence, it's nothing. Because now is God. Now is God here as my divine self. And because my divine self is God here, it isn't separated from God anywhere. Everywhere that God is being God, my divine self is. When I have this firmed up in consciousness, even for 30 seconds, I have sought my divine self and accepted it. And I set in motion the law of divinity. It will never let me down. Now we learn something most unusual as we go deeper into the acceptance of divine self. Your divine self can never move your physical body. I know it sounds strange. Your physical body, though, is moved always by the world mind. It's the world mind that makes your heart beat and controls your brains. Your divine self has nothing to do with your physical form. And that's why hearts fail and bodies deteriorate. Your divine self moves only your divine body, your immortal soul body. And as you bring your beliefs in conformity with divine belief, you are released from control of the world mind. And then divine self moves your divine body, but this appears in the appearance world as your improved condition. You see, it's the step that's missing. All human activity functions without divine ordination. But when this happens, when you move out of thought to let divine mind move your divine body, you move under grace in all things. And the divine body movement within you becomes the outer physical movement of your human body. This is the meaning of the Father worketh hitherto and I work. The one divine life stream performs its perfection independent of the physical world, and your spiritual body walks free of the material grossness of the sense mind and its false power. Standing on the banks of the Jordan, John the Baptist is amazed to see Jesus coming to be immersed just like all the others. He cries out with astonishment, "But I have need to be baptized by you." Meaning, every human, even the highest, must learn to accept Christ's identity. Then, not once, but three times. In Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, and Luke 3:16, John the Baptist announces, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Through Isaiah, your divine self also says, "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved." Why? Because no human teacher can baptize you. No human teacher can take you into heaven or bestow grace and everlasting life upon you. Your divinity is already established here and now. Your living Christhood, your divine spirit is the way. Your flesh and blood cannot experience heaven. It is impossible for human beings to be about God's business. It seems so baffling when we see a Christian religion that is blind to the fact that the voice of your own divine self within you is the only real teacher. And yet, in the name of righteousness, you can take a great soul like Annalise Guerin, a person totally dedicated to divine truth. And yet, she was excommunicated from a church. And the reason? Her book spoke about hearing the inner voice. Her church called this Antichrist. And by its man-made laws, it declared that only the president of the church had the right to hear the voice and to report what it said. Now, if we were to accept such a ridiculous decree, I guess you'd have to take the book of Revelation and throw it out of the Bible, because it's a complete revelation of what the divine voice said to John. And then, in the other parts of the Bible, we have the voice heard by Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Hosea, Malachi, Moses, Samuel, Solomon, etc. ad infinitum. And I guess the same church might consider it wholly unacceptable for more modern souls like Mary Baker Eddy or the Fillmores or Joel Goldsmith to hear the voice. The tragedy of such a man-made doctrine is that it really denies the voice of God to mankind. What are you supposed to do if God speaks to you? Should you tell God that the president of your church forbids God to talk to you? This is an absurd proclamation. Not only that, it's made in the face of specific biblical passages which tell us just the opposite. Revelation of St. John, chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and he with me. Now clearly all mankind is invited to listen for the voice. Again, Gospel of John, chapter 10, verses 15 and 16. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Same chapter, verse 27. Christ says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, God is never going to ask the president of any church for permission to speak to Christ. And eternal life is not going to be experienced by anyone who does not accept Christhood. So, when a church prohibits the voice among its constituents, it's also prohibiting Christhood. It is denying their Christhood. It is shutting them out from Christ. And it is only Christ who can hear the voice and lead us to eternal life. Ironically, the announced purpose of that religion is to bring man to God. And of course, nothing can be more ridiculous. John 5:25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. And they that hear shall live. Just think of a religion that is prohibited from hearing the voice when only they that hear shall live. Now, if that voice comes to you as a clear, soundless sound, listen. Open that inner ear. If it comes to you as an inspired thought pulsing through your consciousness, listen, obey. If it comes as a clear-cut understanding of what you must do and when, do it. It's the voice of authority. You can trust it above every religion and every religious leader on this earth. It is Christ flooding your soul with life, with love. It's the voice of freedom making you a partaker of the divine life. It's the allness of your Father's kingdom coming forth expressing through your being. When any religion or government or what have you denies what God has given you, it's setting itself up higher than God, proclaiming its own spiritual poverty. And really it's digging graves for all those who were enslaved to its dark message of ignorance. Throw open the windows of your soul. The miracle of the divine voice demonstrated by the prophets is what produced the Bible and the other great scriptures of both East and West. The living voice speaks daily through every pure channel everywhere. It never plays favorites. It has only one requirement, that you be pure at heart. And that means living in your divine self. The voice will never glorify the channel. It only glorifies itself. It says, I speak to you through a prophet now, only that you may know I am here. But later, the prophet will go away. And then how will you hear my voice unless you are listening within yourself? Awaken to your divinity. And in the midst of the clamor of the world, above the shadows of the senses, my voice will come to lead you out of the wilderness of mortal mind into the ever-present promised kingdom. That is the eternal truth of Christ, the Good Shepherd, your divine self. And what God has given you, no man can pluck away. Hear my voice, says your divine self. Open your heart and your soul that my voice may come through to guide you, to take you into reality. For I truly am the way.